Connie is available to answer any of your questions. And there is a mic at the back of the room. I hope it's working.
Oh, good. John will ask the first question.
He's going to come up and meet the connection.
There's a mic down there. I'm
there
sorry.
Is. I got you. You can come up here, John.
Is this okay for the TV camera?
It's there.
You should go down there.
Okay, no problem.
Good afternoon. Hello. Thank you. My name is John Boris. Connie, I think it was, he called you. I'd like to say that was a very good presentation, and just look at the white hairs and the gray, and we're very interested. And my big question with the interest in it and with respect to what do we do about it, and you touched it in a way, was I'm 82 years of age. Now, have you got some statistics which say that, well, I'll last another 5 years, and that makes it 87? I'd say, thank the good Lord, and as long as I don't have to suffer between now and then, I'll accept that. Or that it's going to be 15 years, and the last five are going to be H-E-double-L. Well, I'd be pretty upset. And then if you had one type of, there's two types of, as you mentioned, are major types of Alzheimer's. If you had the one that most people have, that has its side effects with it, and the other one has it. So can you give me some, let's see, what would I say, examination and assessment that, well, John, I think you will last for 5 years, 6 years, 2 years. I just like to see what you have to say.
Okay.
Thank you.
Well, thank you for that question, Mr. Boris. Unfortunately, I'm not qualified to do an assessment on you. But I think what I could say is that dementia isn't a normal part of aging, whether it's Alzheimer's disease or one of the others. And there are people who live to be in their late 90s and even 100 who do not develop Alzheimer's disease or one of the other dementias. And so I think that's the good news, is that we need to remember that not all of us will get it.
Sure. I'm going to ask a question.
Okay.
Connie, I want to ask you a question. I'm wondering, your society, the Alzheimer's Society, you offer support for families. This is a very hard thing for families to deal with, too. Do you have any suggestions as to how families can cope when their members are stricken with Alzheimer's disease?
Thank you, Diane. Yes, one of the most important things that families need to do is get information about Alzheimer's disease or another kind of dementia. The kinds of dementia I talked about today are similar in how they affect families and the person with the diagnosis. And so some of the suggestions that the Alzheimer's Society has and some other agencies as well about how you deal with that as a family member or the affected person are very, very similar. And so the Alzheimer's Society, we talk about Alzheimer's disease and related dementias or disorders. And so the literature and ideas and suggestions that we have available speak to dementias because the problems are similar. And so getting information is very important because I think if we understand what's happening in the brain of the person with the disease and that it's a progressive decline of that person's ability to function independently, then we can change the way we relate to them and the way we're reacting with them, and because they're no longer able to make the changes because of what's happening in their brain. So it's very important for you and I and other people to understand that the person with the dementia is usually doing the best they can, And it's up to us to change what we're doing and how we're communicating with them and interacting with them to maintain their quality of life, because they're depending on us. So that's one thing, getting information. And then getting support. The Alzheimer's Society has offers caregiver support groups. We offer it once a month in our office, the third Tuesday. You can come and meet with other family members that are dealing with the illness. Sometimes it's confidential. There's some trained facilitators that run the group. And sometimes you've thought of a way to deal with a problem. You can share that with another caregiver. Sometimes it's just meeting with other people who understand your situation truly, because my mother doesn't have Alzheimer's and my husband doesn't have Alzheimer's, so I don't truly understand how that feels. So it's good to meet with other people who know exactly what's happening to you and some of the changes and issues. So I hope that would be helpful.
My name is Ardell Harris. Thank you for your information. What concerns me is that I'm speaking into it. I can't speak much louder. Still can't hear? Okay. What concerns me is, if I understand you correctly, and we all know this, that the size of the older population is growing, and it sounds like the incidence of dementias is also going to grow with that. My question is, what preparations is the healthcare system making in terms of the increased numbers of facilities and trained people who can look after what appears to be going to be a growing problem in the future?
Okay. Thank you for that question. I can say that governments are now looking at this issue. There was a bill introduced at the federal government level in 2005 to talk about an Alzheimer's strategy for our nation. And then in the year 2000, after the Boda report came out in 1999, the Alberta Health and Wellness struck a task force to look at how to deal with Alzheimer's disease and related dementias in our province. There was a task force struck to look into this, and they had an expert symposium held in Edmonton. They invited representatives from all the health regions and from all the Alzheimer's societies in the province to put their heads together and identify the issues and then think of some strategies that might be useful. From that, each health region was given the task of developing a 10-year plan to deal with Alzheimer's disease. I believe it's a 10-year plan. And so each health region had to go back and figure out how they might be able to deal with the issues. But of course, there wasn't very much money promised to go along with that. There was some money allocated to look at a training program for frontline caregivers. And so the task force had a committee that looked very carefully at different kinds of training programs that were available for frontline caregivers. And they chose one that had been developed by Care West in Calgary. And all of the health regions in the province have been charged to roll out that training program for frontline caregivers. It's called Supportive Pathways. And so here in our health region, there has been meetings to train trainers from agencies that care for people with Alzheimer's disease to go back and give their staff information and training about the special and unique needs of people caring for people with Alzheimer's disease or related dementia. So that's one thing that's happened. I was talking with Colin Zieber, who is the director of acute geriatrics and palliative care here in our health region. He was saying that a number of staff have already been trained, and other agencies are still working on rolling out the training to their staff as we speak. So as yet, it's not mandatory. It was a voluntary thing on the part of the agencies, but at some point, hopefully, it will become mandatory that all staff caring for people with dementia will be adequately and properly trained.
Hi, Connie. Thank you for your address. Yes, this isn't on. And Ruth Alzinga, I have a couple of questions. One is, what's the average length of time a person lives following the onset of Alzheimer's? There may not be one answer, but maybe you've got some averages. I'll let you answer that, then I'll think of my other question.
Okay. Okay, thank you. I believe that the literature I've seen most recently says 8 to 10 years after diagnosis would be the average. Most people have already had the disease for 3 to 5 years before they're ever diagnosed, some much longer than that, of course. But some people have been known to live up to 20 years after the diagnosis of Alzheimer's disease.
Thank you.
Welcome.
Are there any more questions for Connie? Yes, John.
Maybe somebody will say this is a good question.
Okay.
I won't be able to answer.
Well, just wait and see what he says.
Thank you again. For what I heard Ruth ask, it apparently seems to be, especially with you underlying it, it's a matter of dollars. And if we had the dollars, we could do more assessments and diagnoses and stuff like that. I think I heard from you, not black and white, but you could sure do these programs or these things that you're setting up to study this really are okay and they're doing the things, but however, it's dollars that we're short of. Now, why are we short of dollars? Why, we've got money flowing over the pot in this province.
Thank you for that excellent question. It is a matter of dollars, and so we're hoping that, our governments will recognize that there needs to be a lot more money put into perhaps research to discover a cause or a cure for some of these dementias. We also hope that our governments will be setting aside dollars to increase the number of patient-to-staff ratio in some of our facilities, because we know that that's very necessary. And you may not know, but the Alzheimer's Society is a not-for-profit organization that does not receive any government funding to offer our programs and services, and so we rely on the public, the community, corporations, private citizens, to help us do the work that we need to do. And so we have to do some fundraising in terms of coffee break and walk, but definitely I think we need to be talking to our MPs and our MLAs about increased funding to help people with this kind of health issue.
Ruth Alzinga, and I'm not here necessarily to defend the government, but perhaps I think it's worth mentioning. I just came back from British Columbia, and I was shocked to find out that Aricept is not covered in their drug program, and ours is in Alberta. And I found out a few other things in terms of the extra dollars that our Alberta government puts into the care when seniors are assigned to a care center, etc., and it's very, very generous. So before we start lambasting the government, I think we ought to have some stats in front of us, because you would find out that if you're a senior and you're living in Alberta, you are very privileged.
Thank you, Ruth.
Any further questions for Connie?
Owen Holmes here. Recently in the Lethbridge Herald, Rob Sutherland was quoted as saying that he thought in his lifetime maybe there'd be real inroads made in the prevention of Alzheimer's disease. Now, he's one of the leading authorities in brain research, and I wondered if you'd care to comment on his optimistic prediction in that regard.
Well, I was very thrilled to hear him say that. I was at that presentation, and I hope he's right. It's my desire to be out of a job because they found a cure for Alzheimer's disease. Can I answer whether I think that will happen or not? No, I can't.
He said he thought in his lifetime that would happen.
That's a variable, isn't it?
My name is Jack Dick. And I'm wondering if the per capita infection of Alzheimer's is more now than it was 50 years ago.
I'm not sure I can answer that question. What I can say is that since the discovery of Alzheimer's disease in 1906, very little was done. And then just in the early 80s, people started to take, researchers and healthcare professionals started to take a closer look. So I'm thinking that always the research studies that support those numbers probably weren't available, so we wouldn't have that accurate of an accounting.
Are there any further questions for Connie?
Can I be allowed one more?
Sure you can, Ruth.
You talked about a number of things you can do which are helpful for mm-hmm. our minds. And I have heard somewhere perhaps is a myth, and maybe it's not, you can dispel it, that we know brain cells do die, but it's encouraging news to know that you can actually grow more brain cells. Now, would you care to comment on that, or...
Well, I can agree with you that that is encouraging news, but I'm not qualified really to comment on that. So I was encouraged by that news too. So I'm hopeful that, you know, they'll be able to do something to help people.
This mic isn't on. Bridget Pasteur, obviously you know who I am, and in deference to Ruth, I couldn't let some of the stuff go by. She's quite right. There are some very well cared for seniors in this province. I have just released a press release today saying that the senior advocates in Edmonton who have a class action suit going in the Jeannie Nelson scalding to death inquiry and going to court.
Oh, are you? I'm sorry, I didn't realize we needed it for the... Okay, I'll start over again. Further to what Ruth was saying, there are some very well cared for seniors in this province. There is no question about that. However, I have just released a press release saying that the senior advocates who have a class action suit going against the government regarding the scalding death of Jeannie Nelson in Edmonton in a long-term care facility, and the government has tried to intimidate the group by insisting that they come up with $400,000 before they proceed with their class action suit. There already have been one successful class action suit on behalf of AISH recipients, so it is not all rosy. I did sit on that long-term care task force, and believe me, some of the things that we heard were more than heartbreaking. And Ruth is right, yes, there are some, but there are many, many, many people in this province who are going to be coming up to exceedingly, exceedingly poor care unless they can afford it.
Are there any further questions? None? Then can I thank you very much, Connie, for your wonderful presentation.
Thank you.